drove up. I went over to Pinkston by myself, didn't care of the wife. Brother Joe keeps asking me, have I been to Pinkston? I don't know who that couple was, but it made it famous, but I miss them. So, I hope to run upon them again one of these days soon. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Matthew. In the book of Matthew, we're going to be looking there. In the book of Matthew, am I on yet? Yeah, here we go. In the book of Matthew, if you find the place you're able to stand, look in chapter number 3 and about verse number 1. By the time we're reading this, the Herod that was trying to kill the Lord Jesus has already died. And Joseph, the Lord appears in a dream for him to go back into Egypt. And he came to him in Egypt in a dream over there in chapter 2 and said, you can take the young child and his mother and go back into the land of Israel. And the one that wanted to harm him is dead. Now there's another Herod that hates John the Baptist. But in verse 1, we'll take up reading there. In those days, John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Here he comes preaching, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Esaias or Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. And the same John had remnant of camel's hair and leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. And they went out unto him Jerusalem and all of Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Think not to say within yourselves that we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees, and therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now verse number 12 is going to explain what that is. Whose fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner or grainer, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and Lord, as we speak in your behalf, we want to thank you for loving us, even while we were unlovable. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted. Set the captives free, we pray thee. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while this morning that he'll either save you or he'll slay you. There's no two ways in ten about it. You're sitting here. You're going to have to deal with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there was a lot of people in that day that didn't mind dealing with John the Baptist, the Apostle Paul, or some of the other people. But I got to tell you right now, John the Baptist made it very clear. I can baptize you with water, but there's one that comes after me who's mightier than I am, whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. In the lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you that John the Baptist was a pretty strong preacher. Fact is, he was very pointed if you read all of that chapter and look at it. And you'll find out is that the work of God is done by the Word of God. You know, in the day we live in, and I don't want you to misunderstand, because there's a lot of good that we do and our people do, and they go out there orderly and they go out there neat and they hold up signs and this and that. But this bunch of nuts that are running up and down with a sign that looks like somebody in the second grade made and couldn't spell good, and they're running up and down out there in the middle of traffic and screaming and hollering that look like an ape, and there's nobody getting saved by that. What you're looking at is when you see all that business going, you're seeing, the Bible said, let not your good be evil spoken of. That don't make you want to get saved to see that right there. It makes you want to run and holler snake, run backwards a little bit. in this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find is that we're living in the day and in the hour, is that we ought to be rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, here's whatever God says, and as a result of it, there are going to be some things down the road that you're going to be able to see, I didn't have exactly that right. But you'll get it corrected and get it straightened out. We're not expected to know everything from the beginning to the end, but I can tell you this right now, after 49 years being in the ministry, getting saved, called by the grace of God, called to preaching in the family of God, and approaching down the road here next month some 49 years, when you say something, I'm going to know pretty much if you're in the book or if you're not. And as you grow older, you ought to know that too. I can't tell you how many times that I've been and I've listened to other preachers. I always go to somebody whenever I'm on a vacation somewhere. I would to God that I had some preachers that preach as good as some of you do, no doubt about that, but they're just not out there. But most of the time, they've got a little sugar stick they put together and they don't even get it right. I said all that to be able to say this, is that when you begin to look into the Bible said that we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out something, is that there's righteous preaching that's mentioned here. Look in verse number 2. Here's what this righteous preacher by the name of John the Baptist said. He said, "Repent ye." That's a personal thing and responsibility. You know, in the day and hour that we're living in, people do not want to hear the subject of repentance. They'd like to just go ahead and be able to live like they are, look like they want to, go where they want to go, do whatever they want to do, and call it somehow another Jesus working in their behalf. I said all that just so that you'd know this, is that there's a personal responsibility that God gives us a divine grant. Now, you know, all of that Jack Hiles junky bunch, all that repeat this prayer, bow your head, they believe that repentance is a work. I got news for you. Repentance doesn't come from you. Repentance is granted by the Lord. It's a divine grant, and then God also granted unto them repentance whenever he was talking about the house of Cornelius. Let me tell you, if God don't give you repentance, you'll never get born again. First thing you'll ever get before you ever get saved is God will make you sick of yourself and sick of your sin, and God will grant you repentance and faith, repentance toward God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to watch this, and whenever he said that, over there if you were to read, don't turn there, but in the book of Luke chapter number 5, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." That's Jesus talking right there. And the Bible said that I came to call those, buddy, that are not righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance. They need to change the direction they're going, the lifestyle they've gotten involved in, and that they were born with. And he said, I came to call sinners to repentance. Over in the book of Acts, and about chapter number 20, and you ain't got to turn there either, but I think it's in verse number 21, and you'll find out that it's repentance toward God, and it's faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you that if God doesn't give you repentance, you'll never believe on Jesus the way you ought to believe. In the day and hour that we're living in, the book of Mark in chapter number 1, I want you to look at a passage there. In the book of Mark in chapter number 1, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's doing the preaching here. And the Bible said that he's gone there, and no doubt this is after John the Baptist has already been put into prison and so forth and on. And in the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 15, and the Bible said, and at that time, the time was fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, Jesus said, and believe the gospel. Do you know that if God doesn't give you repentance, you're never going to believe the gospel, right? You're just not. What made you believe the gospel was God saw you like he sees you, and he showed you yourself that, and he made you sick of yourself, sick of your sin. And whenever you wanted to repent that God gave you, he let you believe the gospel unto salvation. Now, I want you to watch this, if you will, please, because that the Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter 21, and I'll give you a second to be able to flip back to that because you need to see it, and you need to mark it in your heart, maybe the margin of your Bible. But in the book of Matthew, chapter number 21, now we've been talking about John the Baptist and about him preaching. And the Bible said that whenever you look in Matthew chapter number 21, look at about verse number 32. Now, here he is, and he's talking about the subject of repentance. And as a result, he gives an illustration about two men. and their sons, by the way. And one of them was told, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." And he said, "I'll go." And then, but he said, "I will not." And afterwards, he repented and he went. The other ones, the second one came, said, "Go, sir, to my vineyard." And he said, I'll go, but he went not. Now, whither of the twain of them did the will of his father? And they said unto the first, and Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you." Now watch this. For John, talking about John the Baptist, verse 32. "For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not." See, not everybody believed what John the Baptist preached. Not everybody believed what Jesus preached. Not everybody's going to believe what you're preaching. Not everybody's going to believe what I'm preaching. But let me tell you right now is that if you rightly divide the word of truth, your responsibility is to know what God said, where he said it, who he said it to, and why he said it. And it's not, you're not responsible if they believe it or not. But the Bible said, he said, "And you believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And when ye had seen it, you repented not afterwards that ye might believe him." You know the reason that crowd, they saw that them harlots got saved, changed their life, changed their business. And you saw some of that, and he said, "And yet afterwards you didn't believe him still. You repented not afterwards that you might believe." You know what it was? They were happy with the way they were living. They were happy with what they were doing. They were happy because it, whatever they made them feel good. You know, in the day we live in, most of what we're hearing is psychology. Here's what psychology does. It makes you feel good about yourself like you are without the need to repent. See? I don't know about you, but I like it whenever I feel good about myself. But then I face the reality of it. I've just got through lying to myself. If you don't repent toward God, you'll not have the proper belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not something you can work up. I want to talk about that righteous preacher. Now I want to talk about these religious people in verse number 5 back in our text. Now the Bible said they went out to him. All Jerusalem and Judea and the region round about, they've come out in verse number 5. They've come out to hear John the Baptist. Obviously, there's a real commotion. I can tell you this, they didn't stand in line and stay several days there like they're doing up in Kentucky with that worldly bunch that's just playing like they're in something. I can tell you, whenever they showed up, John the Baptist asked the question, "Here you are, who warned you about the wrath that is to come? Who caused you to want to repent toward God?" And boy, let me tell you right now, that religious but lost crowd, they didn't want none of that. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into it, you'll find the reason why John the Baptist came on the scene to begin with is because he was going to manifest to Israel who the Messiah was. And that's the reason why that whenever he was baptizing, he'd go down, he'd come up, and he was looking and listening. He was listening for the voice of God. He was looking for the Spirit of God in the form of that dove to light upon. And that's what he had been sent for. That's what the Father had sent him for. You can read all about this in John, St. John chapter number 1. In fact is, whenever Jesus showed up there with John the Baptist, John's own testimony was that "I knew him not." I didn't know this was who I was. "But the same one that sent me," talking about the Father, "said, of whom that you see the Spirit of God descending and the voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved son,' that'll be him." John the Baptist is there. He's baptizing them in the Jordan River. One day here comes Jesus, and he stands there. And John the Baptist, no doubt, is humble, but he does not know at this time it's the Son of the living God. When he goes down in that water with him, when he comes back up, he hears the voice from heaven, and he sees the Spirit descend like the dove. And as a result of that, it abides upon him. And let me tell you, is that the next day you'll find that John the Baptist would point when Jesus walked by and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Now, you know the reason why the world's religious but lost and going to hell in a handbasket for the most part? You know why? I'll tell you why. They don't want their sin took away. They want to be saved in sin instead of from sin. That's the kind of world that we're living in. Now, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they did not come to John the Baptist for the better, but they came for the worse. And John the Baptist, he began to call them, look at it, he called them vipers. That's a snaky bunch, isn't it? He called them, and as a result of it, he called them vipers, and they had no repentance, they had no faith, no remorse, whatever. And fact is, John the Baptist knew exactly how they think. What do you think in verse number 9 and 10? Whatever he told them, and think not to say that I'm descended from Abraham. Your kin folks are not going to get you in. Just because your mom and daddy saved, and I hope they are, doesn't mean that you're going to be automatically in. You're going to have to come to Jesus as an empty-handed beggar yourself. You're going to have to do it as a personal responsibility. You know, in this Bible lesson that you're looking at, here's what you end up finding. You find out is that these are people that had no faith. They have no repentance. They have no... And as a result of that, he said, don't you think for one minute that Abraham and descending from the lineage of Abraham is going to do anything for you. I say unto you that God can raise up out of these stones children unto Abraham. But he won't raise up something out of a stone and cause it to be born again unless it's been washed by the blood of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now, in this lesson, let me say to you, they're not about to want to come to Jesus Christ. And therefore, you'll find that old John begins to preach to them and tells them that the axe has been laid to the root of the tree. There's three baptisms that are mentioned in this chapter that's here. One of them, John the Baptist, is baptizing by water. Another one, Jesus Christ, is baptizing by the Holy Ghost. And Jesus Christ can baptize with fire. Now, let me say to you that when you look into the passage, here's what he's talking about. You're talking about in verse number 12 that God's about to fan in his hand and he's about to thoroughly purge the floor. Now, he's going to gather the wheat, I hope that's you, and to the grainer. But he'll burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. You're here this morning, you're saying, well, I don't want nothing from Jesus Christ. The Pharisee and the Sadducee didn't either, but they're going to get a baptism of fire, and it's going to burn them up. You either get baptized by the Spirit of God and put into the body of Christ, and you'll be hell-proof and in heaven bound, or you can be baptized by fire that's unquenchable, and it'll burn you up. Now, I want you to watch this. Don't answer, but just think on it a minute. Why do you think that over there in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 16, he says concerning the word of the Lord, to the one we're the savor of death unto death, to the other the savor of life unto life. Listen, when you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's your job to do that. The rest of it belongs to God, and make no mistake about it, is that if a person says, well, I'm not going to believe that and I'm not going to get saved, then to you, we are the savor of death unto death. But those that say, I believe it, I want to repent and trust the Lord and live for him and serve him and walk with him, to that one, we're the savor of life unto life. Now, let me say to you that over there, the Bible said that Jesus is either going to save you or he's going to slay you, one of the two. That's the idea that's given here. Remember over there in the book of Genesis in chapter number 19, about verse number 24, he repeats it again over in the New Testament, Luke chapter 17, verse 29. But remember when the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever he looked down upon this world in eternity past, and with the Father, whenever they looked down and saw the wickedness of man and how great that it was, and so forth and so on. Do you remember that finally that God delivered just Lot? But the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, he burned with unquenchable fire. He burned it up as a baptism. Do you remember over there in the book of Leviticus in chapter number 10, at about verse number 2, there was a man by the name of Aaron. You remember he was a spokesman for Moses, his brother. You remember that as a result of that is that he had two sons, Nadab and Abihu. And you remember that they tried to offer strange fire to God, and there was quote-unquote fire that came from God out of heaven. Killed them right there. That's a baptism. They didn't want the one that was holy. You see what I'm talking about? Now watch this here. Do you realize, though, that while you look into that in the book of Numbers in chapter number 16, verse number 35, you don't have to turn there either. But if you were to look there and find that, is that Korah and his bunch rose up against Moses, God's chosen. And as they rose up against him, you'll find out is that they were finally challenged by the Lord to come out in front of their tent. And the Bible said that the earth opened up and swallowed up 250 men, and fire came out and consumed them. I want to say to you that, if you will, make no mistake about it. One of these days, you and I that are saved by the grace of God are going to stand before the Lord. Now, I don't want you to answer this, because I wouldn't want you to get it wrong whatsoever, but I'm going to ask you a question that requires no answer. I'm going to give you the answer. I'd have done better in school if my teachers would have asked the question than given me the answer. I mean, that's like getting the score key. Now, pay close attention. You and I that have been saved, if you're saved here right now, you've had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God has baptized you into the body of Christ. Now pay close attention. Will you ever get the baptism of fire? Not upon your person, but upon your works. Do you remember over there, whenever the Bible said, is that the Lord talked about the judgment seat of Christ? And do you remember, is that the Bible said that whenever God breathes upon us with his fire, on our works, he said he'll be saved yet so as by fire, but his works are burned up. You see that? Let me say to you that, if you will, I didn't learn that in 2 seconds or 2 minutes, but that's the way that it is. I begin to think, as God began to bring to my heart and to bring to my mind, by the grace of God, you may not have nothing left at the judgment seat of Christ and it'll all be turned into ashes. When you could have had silver and gold and precious stones to have a crown to be able to throw at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you chose to live for yourself, by yourself, of yourself, since the day you got saved. Whatever you wanted to do, wherever you wanted to go, however you wanted to act, that's what you did. And you're saved, yet so as by fire. You better be glad you had the Holy Ghost baptism that put you into the body of Christ. If not, you're going to turn worse than a crispy critter. That's true, isn't it? I said all that to be able to say this, make no mistake about it. When the fire of God fell from heaven in the days of Lot, in the days of Sodom, in the days of Gomorrah, I want to tell you, so shall it be when the Son of Man shall come again. Let me say to you that I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I've been saved by the grace of God. I don't have any doubt about you that are here this morning. I know some of these younger ones probably have not as yet. But see, my job is not to determine what you are and what you're not. My job is to preach the word of the Lord. And the rest of it belongs to him. That's why the world's in a mess and the church is going to hell in a handbasket. Now, if you don't believe for 1 minute, you go around and preach some. Hey, I'd like to see you one of these days take one of these little churches that had one of these little milquetoast preachers, and you're going to try and preach the Bible. You talk about raise up and hell get hot in a hurry. It just does. And you know the reason being, don't you? That Pharisaical, Sadduceical bunch of Herodians, bunch of God-haters, that fought every Bible preacher that ever came through and hated the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason. I wonder this morning, do you know him in the free pardon of sin? Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Our Father, I want to say thank you for loving us. While we were unlovable, lost in sin, without hope and without God. And Lord, as we get ready to leave here today, I hope and trust that you'll hide the word in our hearts that we not sin against thee. More than that, that we might teach transgressors thy ways. We want to say thank you, Lord, for touching hearts and lives, saving those that you've saved and reviving those that you've revived. And we say, even so come, Lord Jesus. We look with great anticipation to thy return. May we be found faithfully and occupied about your business, that we be not ashamed at thy appearing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.